It's Thursday, August 27th. I'm Lucy Steiner.
And I'm Sam Cedar. Which of these stories will you be talking about today?
A teenage wannabe cop and militia member was arrested for shooting and killing two people at a protest against police violence in Kenosha, Wisconsin. The Milwaukee Bucks then launched a solidarity strike with protesters, leading to the postponement of the basketball playoffs, which will definitely get the attention of people who might not have noticed or cared. Meanwhile, Texas and Louisiana braced for a massive Category 4 hurricane that was set to make landfall last night. And lastly, there was a courtroom victory for transgender equity in Virginia yesterday, regardless of how many bigoted adults may feel about it.
You are listening to Majority FM's AM Quickie, and these are the stories you need to know.
Police in Lake County, Illinois arrested a 17-year-old boy for shooting three people and killing two at ongoing protests in nearby Kenosha, Wisconsin. According to Vice News, the young man, Kyle Rittenhouse, is an aspiring police officer, and online videos showed him milling about with local police as well as with right-wing militia members and carrying an assault rifle. The militia claimed to be on the scene to protect businesses and property from rioters and, quote, evil thugs, unquote. An event page set up by the militia was removed from Facebook, but not before the event was promoted by Alex Jones InfoWars. Prosecutors in Illinois called Rittenhouse a fugitive who fled Wisconsin to avoid accountability for the shooting. He is being charged with first-degree murder. Videos show Wisconsin police allowed Rittenhouse to leave the scene with his rifle. Photographer Brent Ford witnessed the entire scene and told Vice News, quote, he had his hands up and they told him to get out of there, even though everyone was yelling that he was the shooter. Police didn't seem to hear or care what the crowd was saying, unquote. Yesterday, the Kenosha police chief told reporters that if everyone involved had respected the curfew that was in place, quote, perhaps the situation that unfolded would not have happened, unquote. The shooting took place before midnight on Tuesday, which was the third night of protests in Kenosha following the police killing of an unarmed black man, Jacob Blake. Yesterday, Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers said he was calling up 500 members of the National Guard to support police in Kenosha County. The curfew was set for 7 p.m. Donald Trump was also tweeting about the situation yesterday, which is sure to help. Players with the Milwaukee Bucks decided to go on strike in solidarity with the protests over Jacob Blake's killing, prompting the National Basketball Association to postpone all of yesterday's playoff games. National Guard were also deployed in Texas and Louisiana, which are in the way of Hurricane Laura. The storm yesterday was upgraded to a Category 4, with peak winds reaching 145 miles per hour. It could be the strongest storm to hit Louisiana in 160 years, according to Bloomberg News. The National Hurricane Center said an unsurvivable storm surge with large and destructive waves could penetrate 30 miles inland, causing catastrophic damage from Sebring State Park, Texas, including Calcasieu and Sabine Lakes. The American Red Cross is putting emergency evacuation protocols in place for both states. In all, more than 500,000 people have been ordered to evacuate the coastal areas. Meanwhile, firefighters in California, aided by cooler weather, have made some progress containing the wildfires that are ravaging the state. Nearly 2,000 buildings have already burned, according to the Los Angeles Times. Officials say that number could double before the fires are finally extinguished. Since August 15th, when the state was first hit with a so-called lightning siege that sparked the flames, more than 700 wildfires have burned 1.3 million acres around the north and central parts of the state. While progress is being made, crews are still busy responding to new fires. Another 423 lightning strikes hit the state in the 24-hour period ending yesterday afternoon, causing 50 new fires. More than 136,000 Californians have been evacuated, and Governor Gavin Newsom has warned everyone in the state that they may need to flee their homes at some point on account of the fires. At least 7 people have died so far in the flames.
Hey, Majority.fm's AM Quickie is fueled by JustCoffee.coop. Just Coffee is a worker-owned coffee roaster based in Madison, Wisconsin, that has sponsored the Majority Report for nearly a decade. Check out their collection of fair trade roasts, including our own Majority Report blend. And regardless of what you order, receive 10% off of your order when you use the code MAJORITY at checkout. All shipping, of course, is free. That's coupon code MAJORITY at justcoffee.coop.
A federal appeals court in Virginia yesterday sided with a transgender student in a bathroom access case. The 4th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals ruled against the Gloucester County School Board and said the transgender student was protected both by a federal law preventing sex discrimination in education as well as by the U.S. Constitution's Equal Protection Clause. The lawsuit dates to 2015, according to NBC News. It was filed by Gavin Grimm, who is now a college student. Grimm was assigned female at birth but identifies as male. School officials had forbidden him from using the boys' restroom. Writing for the court, which sided with Grimm in a 2-1 vote, Judge Henry Floyd wrote that school officials were guilty of a special kind of discrimination against the child, based on the fantastical fears and unfounded prejudices of adults. Floyd wrote, quote, "The proudest moments of the federal judiciary have been when we affirm the burgeoning values of our bright youth, rather than preserve the prejudices of the past," unquote. Grimm's case was originally going to be heard by the U.S. Supreme Court in 2017, but it was removed from the calendar after Donald Trump rescinded a federal rule on transgender bathroom access put in place by Barack Obama. It's possibly even likely that the question of transgender rights will come before the High Court again. Grimm was represented by the American Civil Liberties Union. In a statement following the verdict, he said, quote, "All transgender students should have what I was denied, the opportunity to be seen for who we are by our schools and our government," unquote.
And now for some quicker quickies.
Quicker quickie.
Mike Pence was the marquee name last night at the Republican National Convention. Separately, a Politico story blamed Pence for doing his part to slow down the nation's coronavirus response. Donald Trump spent the day at his namesake hotel in Washington, D.C., meeting with donors. According to the Washington Post, among the events scheduled for the Trump International Hotel yesterday was a panel on defeating the deep state, featuring, among other panelists, Sebastian Gorka. There was also a bourbon tasting with Kentucky Senator Rand Paul. Boy, howdy. 4 U.S. service members suffered concussion-like symptoms after an altercation with Russian forces in Syria this week. Video of the incident emerged yesterday, and it showed a Russian helicopter flying low over U.S. armored vehicles, which were then rammed by a Russian vehicle on the ground. A draft statement written by the U.S. Central Command and cited by Politico blamed the Russians for unsafely pursuing, then intentionally ramming the American forces. The Pentagon offered no comment. The ACLU of Oregon filed a lawsuit yesterday in federal court on behalf of Portland protesters who say they were beaten by federal agents and snatched into unmarked rental vans. Portland's Willamette Week newspaper reported, Donald Trump, the Department of Homeland Security, and the U.S. Marshals Service are named as defendants. One of the plaintiffs, Mark Pettibone, was snatched up by federal agents and tossed into an unmarked van. He said, quote, "I still haven't fully come to terms with what it means that I was kidnapped by my government," unquote. Same here, buddy. The U.S. Centers for Disease Control revised its guidance for COVID-19 testing this week, saying people who were exposed to the virus but are not showing symptoms should not be tested. Public health experts expressed concern over the revision, saying all who were exposed should be tested. After word got out about the changes, the New York Times reported that CDC officials were pressured to make the change by higher-ups in the Trump administration. Apparently, Trump officials took advantage of the absence of Dr. Anthony Fauci, who was undergoing surgery for a polyp on his vocal cords, to ram through the change. I don't know about you folks, but this is all the nonsense I can take today.
Quicker. Quickie.
That's all for the Majority Report's AM Quickie today. We'll have more pre-recorded content for you this afternoon, as Sam and the team are still on a well-deserved break.